God, I pray that you would hear our praises. Lord, that they'd be a sweet-smelling savor before you as a sacrifice, an offering for what you have done for us. Lord, may the praises on our lips echo what's going on in our hearts. And Lord, now may our hands and our feet run to you. Run in your direction and what you would have for us. And we'll give you all the praise for what you've done in our lives. And Lord, I pray as we open your word that you would be lifted up and God, that we would be challenged from your word today. And we give you the thanks and praise for it's in your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, before our kids go to Kids Connect, I want you to get a little bit of taste of what energy we get on Wednesday nights. On Wednesday nights, our kids' ministry is called Hero Kids. All right, we are wanting them to learn how to be heroes through Christ. So our Hero Kids are with us on Wednesday night. I want you to come on up. All right, come on, Mackie, Tori, Hayden. All right, Fabiola, that's right, come on. There's some others. Emmy's usually there, but she's at her grandparents this weekend. All right, I need y'all to spread out. Everybody's going to need to be able to see you two guys over here. Tori, don't you hide over here. All right, you come right here. Right there, Mackie. All right, now we got to stretch, right? Get ready. Here, I better move this. I don't want you knocking it over there, Fabi. All right, so let's move it. Yeah, we got Grace. Come on, Grace, you know this. All right, so you stand right there. All right, so you guys ready? We have a theme verse with our Hero Kids that they've memorized. And I might have taught them some motions to help them memorize it. All right? And so we're going to do this together. You got your muscles ready? As we're teaching our kids to be Hero Kids, we want them to be strong in the Lord. All right? So ready? Here we go. Finally. Wait a second. That is not like Wednesday night right there. All right? You guys are so much louder. You in particular, Hayden. All right? I want to hear you. Okay? So lift it up. Let's get nice and loud. Ready? Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Ephesians 6:10. Great job. All right. Thank you, guys. All right. Thank you. All right. All right, kids, you can now be dismissed to Kids Connect. And now they're excited to run. All right. So they are going to go to Kids Connect. The rest of us, let's take our Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Ephesians, chapter 1. Now that they're all worked up, isn't that great? Ephesians, chapter 1. As we get to continue on through the book of Ephesians this morning, I tell you, this opening prayer of praise is just so full of praise, and it's so full of Paul's overflowing thoughts about God and who He is, and it's just amazing. And sometimes it's so hard to put into words what Paul is saying here. But I pray that even today we get a chance to see something incredible, something that's really rich. All right, now tonight is our dessert auction. We're going to see some rich things in our dessert auction. All right. But that is not to be compared with the richness I want you to see right now. That there is such a richness in this passage. And you know what? A little richness, it goes a long way. I'll never forget the time my dad tried to make a key lime pie. And I think I've told you about this before. But he got all the ingredients there. He had real fresh key limes that someone had brought to him. And he said, I'm going to make this key lime pie. Well, he misread the recipe and added an extra cup of key lime juice. He doubled the amount of key lime juice for a key lime pie. Now, if you ever had a key lime pie, they're usually pretty tart already. We used to have a guy that was going to college there in the town, and he would come over after church on Sundays and eat lunch with us. His name was Ben, and poor Ben was the first one to try this pie. And he put that first piece in his mouth and puckered right away, and he went, that's good. And he was trying not to offend anyone. But boy, it was rich. And he kept trying to eat it. And finally my dad said, "Ben, I think I messed up. You don't have to keep eating the pie, all right? It's okay." A little richness goes a long way. But in here we see in Paul's praise of God, we're now going to see a present reason to praise him. You know, if we look here in the text, and starting in verse 3, and this praise really begins, the last time we looked here in verses 3 through 6, we saw something of the past as a reason to praise him. He has chosen us, he has predestined us before the foundation of the world, something from the past that God has done as a reason to praise him now. But now this morning here in verses 7 through 10, we're going to see something from the present. This is something that's ongoing. This is something that we see each and every day of our lives. This is something that we have a present reason to praise him for, and it is rich. So let's start in verse 3 and pick up in this praise, where Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Even as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth." There in verse 7, as we now see this section of this praise, I want you to see these words: "In him we have." In him we have. We have there is in the present active indicative. It means that this is presently happening. It's ongoing. It's active. In Christ. In him. And that's the theme of Paul's prayer here. Because if you remember the formation, "Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And what's the reason why he's blessed? Because he's blessed us in Christ with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. That in Christ we have these spiritual blessings. And now in verse 7, "In him we have," we presently have these things. We are continuing these spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. And now all of this that we're going to see and unpack this morning, it happens according to something. Did you catch it? "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace." According to the riches of his grace. Now remember, grace is God giving us what we do not deserve. God giving us what we do not deserve. The acrostic I've used, God's riches at Christ's expense. And as we see this aspect, it is all emphasizing the unmerited favor that we see from God, that we have not done anything to deserve this from God, but in his riches of his grace, he has given us this through Jesus Christ. And now we see these riches that are ongoing, and it's according to these riches. This preposition, it really explains a lot, because we would much rather have him give it according to rather than from. You say, what's the difference? Because to give from means to just give a portion. I'm going to give a portion of it. Give a portion of it from. If I'm going to give it from my riches, I'm going to give a portion of my riches. One of the commentaries I was reading this week in preparation, he told the story of John Rockefeller, you know, one of the most wealthy men that America has ever known. And in that wealth and all of that he would give from his riches. And some of the photos you see of him, he's giving a dime to a child. Now, granted, a dime probably bought a lot more back in those days, but that was giving from his riches. You see, God gave according to his riches. In other words, he gave us according to, in like manner, in likeness of the riches in which he has. And his riches are infinite. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. His riches are ongoing. They're overflowing. They're abundant. And because of that, He has given us in like manner. He's giving us according to His riches, not just from. He is giving us a way and a show that this is the kind of riches I have. And it is an abundant showing upon us. He's given us according to His riches. And because of this, Paul describes for us these praises. This morning, I want you to see two things. First, what we have in Christ is a display of His riches. What we have in Christ is a display of His riches. Because notice in verse 7, in Him we have redemption. Redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. And He uses that word redemption. Now this word, as it would have been used in the Greek there, and as the, they would have heard it, it would have brought an immediate picture of the redemption from slavery. The idea of being bought from slavery and having the idea of freedom being purchased. And so when the word is used, a lot of times you see it with a modifier, and the modifier shows us what it took to purchase that redemption. So what is that modifier? Redemption through His blood. There is the picture, the purchase from slavery to freedom, and the cost being His blood. It was His precious blood that was the payment for our sins. It was His precious blood that allows us to be redeemed. To be redeemed is to see that payment, to be paid in full for us. And in Christ Jesus, we have redemption through His blood. In Christ, there is this display of His richness, and it starts with redemption. It starts with the fact that our sins have been paid for. And if we ever get over that fact, we need to get recharged in the Lord. We need to get back to a fresh view of Him. If we ever get over the fact that He has paid the payment for our sins, there's something wrong in our hearts. In Him, we have redemption through His blood. We not only need to understand that something was done for us to have that freedom, but we need to understand the cost that went with it. This weekend, Memorial Day. Too many times we make it about the barbecues. We make it about grilling out. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with that if we keep in mind why we're able to do that. And we understand and remember the payment and the process for our freedom. That our freedom just didn't come haphazardly. It wasn't just something that was just entitled to us and just was granted to us. It was something that was fought for. It is something that is continually protected by our military as well. This morning on the news, they were describing the plight of Arlington Cemetery. Maybe you saw this. That they are looking at the fact that they are starting to fill up and they're starting to run out of room. Over 400,000 burials at Arlington Cemetery. Showing us the cost of what is taken for our freedom. And in that, we do not want to forget the price, the valuable price that's been paid that we might have freedom. And that's what we see along with this redemption. When Paul is given the praises and when he's listing off here the reasons why we have these spiritual blessings, he says we have redemption. That there was a price for our sin, and that price was death. And in our place, Jesus Christ took our place on the cross so that we might be redeemed. And it's valuable. He did it through His blood. You see, our redemption was costly. And I'm afraid that too many times we think grace is just overlooking. I feel that way sometimes with my kids. If I'm going to give them grace, I'm just going to overlook something. And that's not it. Grace is not just overlooking. And if we give somebody grace, you say, well, you know, I'm going to give you grace, and I'm just going to turn the other way this time. That's not grace. Because you see, grace still has a price that was paid. Grace means that Christ took the payment for that. And when Christ's grace is applied to our life, that means that each and every time that it's applied to our life, that is saying that the blood of Jesus Christ was good enough to cover it. That payment was good enough for us. Grace is costly, and when we make it cheap, we do a disservice to who Jesus Christ really is. Christ has been given, Christ and the grace and the payment that Christ has given to each of us for our transgressions. And that's seen, as he says there, the forgiveness of our trespasses. This word forgiveness here, it has a really interesting picture to it. It carries the idea of to pardon. It carries the idea of to release. But it also has an idea of to send off and to hurl. Can you imagine that picture? That through Jesus Christ and through His suffering and through His act, His shedding of His blood on the cross and the raising again from the grave to show the power over death, that God is able to take our sins and He's able to hurl them. How far do you think God can throw? That's one of those never-ending questions, right? It just kind of, how far do you think God can throw? Well, the book of Psalms tells us, doesn't it? Psalms 103 verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far does He remove our transgressions from us. When God takes our sin and He hurls it, it's as far as the east is from the west. If you start out heading east, when are you going to reach the end of east? It's ongoing. You're never going to reach it. It's kind of like driving through Texas. You're never going to reach the other side, right? It's just ongoing. If you drive west and you continue to go west, you're going to continue to head in the direction of west. And as far as east is from the west, He takes our sins and He removes them. That is forgiveness, that God has removed that. He has pardoned us. He's released us from the sin and the consequences of it. In Christ, we have been redeemed. In Christ, we have this forgiveness. But then also, we also see another aspect that's showing the richness of Christ, and it's on display in verse 9. Making known to us the mystery of His will, according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. Here we see the next display that we have in Christ is that we have the revelation from God about that mystery. Mystery is something that we're going to see throughout Ephesians, and it brings a lot of some theological ideas. But basically what a mystery that we see in Scripture is something that we would not know except God revealed it to us. The mystery that God revealed. And here we see Paul describe that for us. What is the mystery of His will, of God's will? That according to His purpose, according to God's design, He sent Christ. He set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things in earth. Here we see the will of God to redeem through Christ and bring all things under Him. You see, God did not leave us blind, but He revealed to us how that we might know Him. And He did so through His Word. We see this, this Word is able to teach us about Christ, and it's able to picture this and show this to us. Even Christ, when He sat with His disciples and He taught, and like the men on the road to Emmaus, He took the Scriptures and He showed them about Him. And He's able to teach and show them about Jesus Christ because in the revealed Word of God, we have God's will according to us, and that was found through Jesus Christ. He has been revealed to us. This is precious to us because this shows the riches that we have in God because this is the revealed Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by God and is profitable for doctrine, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That all of this has been revealed to us, and God in His richness has laid it down for us in His Word. What we have in Christ is a display of the riches of Christ. And they're on display in the grace in which He's given. The problem is a lot of times we undervalue the work of Christ in our lives. Maybe it's because we get too familiar with it. Or maybe because we want to tell God our own ideas of what's valuable. And God is trying to say, no, I want to show you what's valuable, and here's the riches that I have given to you in Christ through redemption, through forgiveness, through the revealing of the redemptive process through Jesus Christ. So after we see what we have in Christ, then I want you to see what else Paul shows us, and that is that God gives us what we need, not always what we want. God gives us what we need, not always what we want. Look there in verse 8. It says, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. This grace that's been given to us, and according to the riches of His grace, this redemption, this forgiveness, this making known of this mystery, this is God and what He has given to us, and it is exactly what we need. It's not always what we want. And it's because in His wisdom and in His insight, He knows what we need more than what we want. Isn't that the struggle of parenthood sometimes? Is teaching our kids what they need rather than what they want? What's a need and what's a want? It's kind of exciting. Hayden's been picking up some little jobs and different things here and there and getting out of the house. And, he's learning how to earn some money and helping his grandparents and in different things. And so now he's getting some money, and there's this constant conversation once he is paid, this constant conversation of, well, what can I get? And we have to start talking about what's needs, what's wants, what's more valuable, instead of buying $50 worth of bubble gum, all right? And there has to be a process of teaching these things. You know what? God, as our Heavenly Father, He looks down and He knows what we need versus what we want. That doesn't mean that God's not always going to give us what we want. As it falls in God's will, we might see the different things happen here and there, and that's up to God's wisdom. But in His wisdom and in His insight, He gave us what we need. When He did this, He showed us what is really valuable. He showed us what is really valuable. What do we call those that always get what they want? Good. You mean you've run across that in your lives? You've run across people that have gotten all that they want every moment, every time they've asked, they got them what they want. You ever notice how that they usually don't value the things that are important? Because they've been taught to value what they want. And you know what? That usually changes. It usually changes in the moment. All of a sudden, that which they thought they want, as soon as they get it, well, I really want this. I really want that. And so many times we can have that idea too, is and try to use God and try to use Him for our own ideas at times, where we want God to give us exactly what we want. And I want you to put together what we want and put it together this way. God, I want you to see this. And God is saying, listen, I got the wisdom. I got the insight. I'm looking down here. I know exactly what you need. And as we look here in this wisdom and this insight, God gave us what we need. And when He gave us what we needed, that shows us what should be valued. And that is, in Him we have redemption. Oh, but then there's this phrase here that I love and I think just really illuminates this passage there in verse 8, which He lavished upon us. He lavished upon us. This literally means to provide in abundance. It means to shower, to abound. And Paul is really emphasizing this fact that what we see in God and what He has given to us, He has not just, just given us sparingly. He has lavished us according to the riches of His grace. Remember that, according to? Because it's according to God's riches, He's able to just lavish us with His grace, and we need it. Each and every day, God's grace has been applied to us through Christ in abundance. If you really begin to think about this, it'll humble you. Because so many times when we see grace, we apply it just to us. And if we apply it just to us, think of all our imperfections. Think of how many times each day we transgress. Think of how many sins in each and every one of our lives that we need to confess to God to receive His forgiveness, to see His grace. I mean, if we truly were able to see all the areas in which we know about, or the things that we don't know about, even in seeing our own lives, we would be overwhelmed by how many times that God has applied His grace to us. And we would say, He has lavished His grace upon me. But now think about it, it's not only happening to you. For all those that call upon the name of Jesus shall be saved. And in their lives, His grace is lavishing over their sins. And I know some of you are thinking, well, I know this person, they're a much bigger sinner than me. So man, you got to think about that. I want to think about all the sins that God is covering, not only in our life, but you know what? The grace that He's lavished upon someone else. And then take it to all of history. Because there's only been one cross of Jesus Christ. And the book of Hebrews tells us that that one sacrifice was good enough for all time, those that would be sanctified. And that grace that has been lavished upon us individually has been lavished upon those that know the name of Jesus Christ as well. Not only sitting around us here today, not only in Crandall and in Talty and Forney, but all over Texas, all over the United States, all over the world at this present time. And not only then, but throughout all of history, those that call upon the name of Jesus has been lavished that grace. Too many times, we do not value the blood of Christ the way that it is. And we make it too simple. When God has lavished us with this grace. You know, when I think of this word lavish, and I've used it several times because I want it to stick in your head today, I think about the way that I butter a potato. Because if you've ever seen me butter a baked potato, you better have the big thing, a country crock. Because I'm going to lavish that potato with butter. I'm going to make sure that baked potato becomes mashed potatoes with all the butter that I'm about to put in it. I'll make it good. And you're sitting there thinking, well, that explains a lot. You're right. It does explain a lot. But you know what? That's the way God has applied grace upon my life. That there wasn't a sparing dollop of grace that He applied to me. But when He looked on my life, He has lavished it with His grace through Jesus Christ. And I don't want to get over that. I don't want to forget that. Because God has given us what we need, and when we realize what we need is His grace, and He has given it to us abundantly, I tell you, it'll bring us to our knees in praise. It'll be a whole lot easier to worship Him. He has given us all of this that has covered all these sins. And then notice the result as well of all that we need, and God giving us what we need. Notice the result in verse 10 that He set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. My friends, this verse should speak to us today. Because it doesn't take us long in watching the news to see how divided we seem to be all over the place. And yet, When you see what God has given to us, redemption, forgiveness, the making known His will, what is that going to lead to? That in Christ, there's a plan for the fullness of time. When we come down to it, here's the plan, that all things might be united in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. That those that are in Him, understand that that's an important designation. Because you have to be in Jesus Christ. It's not just, well, I'm going to try to piece together some things. I'm going to live the best I can. But no, but being in Christ, that the plan includes being in Jesus Christ. That there was a point where you personally said, God, I need you to forgive me of my sins. Lord, I believe in Jesus Christ and what He's done for me on the cross. And I want Him to come into my life and be my Savior. And that being in Him, someday God is going to take all those things and He's set forth in His plan in Jesus Christ, and they're going to be united in Him. No more division. No more fighting. No more those that like it 85 degrees and those that like it 70 degrees. No more those that like blue carpet, those that like red carpet. No more those that like the Cowboys or Redskins. No, I'm kidding. All those things back and forth, all the different things, the differences, no more Americans or Koreans, no more black, white. And all those things are going to be united in Him, and everyone, every tribe, every nation is going to praise Him. And if you look at Revelation chapter 5 in the picture of this, it doesn't stop there. Because around that throne, when the lamb that looked like he had been slaughtered, the one with the wounds of and marks of redemption in his hands and his feet, as he steps through, as he grabs that scroll of redemption from the right hand of God, and as he takes forth and he breaks it open and he unveils the things that will bring all things and united, it's not just the redeemed that begin to praise him. No, all the angels join in chorus too, and it's things in heaven and things on earth that begin to praise God and lift up as we are united together singing, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." And because of that, then we will see the richness of the grace that He has applied to us. That He has just lavished on us. I don't know about you. I don't want to wait till then to praise Him for it. And there's too many times that my days are not filled with the richness of His grace that I need to remember. That I need to remember what God has given for my need, not just my want. I don't really want it to be 98 degrees today. But regardless of that, grace has been lavished upon my life. Grace has been lavished in such a way that I can praise Him. Here, He's given us what we need so that we could value grace. And that means that we can always err to the gracious side. If we value grace, we need to be gracious people, don't we? We need to be people that are willing to exhibit what Christ has given to us. And if we value grace, then we also need to value unity. And model that which Christ brings to us. You know the things that usually divide us? Don't make a bit of difference. My dad taught me a saying. He said, it doesn't amount to a hill of beans. So many times the things that divide us are just petty. And yet here we see a unity in Christ. And if that is a value, we need to model it. Not just in this church, but with all those that name the name of Jesus Christ that we are working together with, and much like what we see in our cooperative program and sending missionaries across the world, that we're united for the gospel's sake. Because you see, when we look at this passage and we see all these blessings, all these things that Paul is pouring out here, we're seeing on display what He's given to us and what we have in Christ and the richness that's there. We see that He's given us what we need, and it makes us ask the question, what will we do with the riches of His grace? What will we do with the riches of His grace? I love the words of 2 Corinthians 4:15. It says, "For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God." That the riches of His grace are there that we might give thanks and glorify Him even more. How do we do that? Matthew 5:20, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven." Do we have a plan for the riches of His grace? Growing up, there was something that was always intriguing to me. It always would pique my interest every time it would come in the mail. Publishers Clearinghouse. As a little kid, as those things came in, I look at that, and of course, they put on the envelopes 1 million, or whatever the big amount is. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, wow. And then they had this thing full of stickers and stamps. And it had a sheet that you could put on, and I think, hey, I got this one, I'll put it right here. I got this one, I'll put it right here. I didn't know that you actually had to order the magazines to go with it. And I'm just sitting there licking the stamps, and I'm putting them on that thing. I can't remember thinking, oh, I got a fool in here. I can send this in. I might have a chance at this $1 million. And you know what? In my little brain, I had a plan. I knew what I was going to do with that $1 million. It involved a whole lot of G.I. Joes. It involved a whole lot of toys and different things. I had a plan with that money that I never would see. And if we were all honest here, we've all had plans of what we would do with $1 million. We all have a plan of what we would do if we won the Powerball, which if you're playing, we need to talk. So you go through all these different things. You look at it. We have plans when we look at the material things of this world. You have plans with what you're going to get back from your taxes. You have plans with what you are given. What do we plan to do with the riches of His grace? A treasure far beyond anything this world has to offer that He has lavished upon us. May we have a plan to show the value of what He's done for us. Shall we stand? Just there with your head bowed and your eyes closed, can you just look into your heart and life right now? I want to ask you, how are you valuing the blood of Jesus Christ this morning? How are you valuing the richness of the grace that God has given to you? And not just given, but that He's lavished upon you. That each and every day, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That grace is continually lavished upon us day after day. How do we value it? Where is your relationship with Jesus Christ this morning? Do you know Him as your personal Savior? Has there ever been that time in your life where you personally made it right with Him? I'm not just thinking kind about, well, I know a little bit about Jesus. I know it's not that. It's about the belief and calling upon Him in repentance and saying, God, forgive me. Apply what Christ did on the cross to my life. Be my Lord and Savior, not just my knowledge. Has there ever been that time in your life today that could be there? And as we come to this time in our service, this is a time for us to respond, to show what's valuable. Or maybe you just need to refresh with the Lord this morning. There's an altar here where you can come and lay it before Him. And give Him praise and thanksgiving for the grace in which He has lavished upon you. If you need that in your life personally, to know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I'm going to be right down here. Don't let anything stand in the way of you coming and saying, I need to know that grace in my life. But I pray that today you would experience the richness of His grace. And you would respond to Him. Our Father, Lord, just work now. Help us, Lord, to see and apply the richness of your grace. To value it. And Lord, as you work on hearts and lives in us, I pray, Lord, that we would be willing to step out in action for what you've done for us. That we might praise you in return. Work now as only you can, for it's in your name we pray. Amen.